Accession number 28358, Reel 2.
It didn't really, but we did have access to the forces because we had a Canadian orthopaedic specialist in the Canadian Air Force that used to come. And later on, when I was nursing on the men's ward, I saw penicillin used for the very first time in the hospital. And this had been given to the hospital probably by this Canadian. I don't know. He'd got hold because at the time most of the penicillin was going to the forces. This would probably been about 1944 or 45. I can't remember. And it was absolutely miraculous. We had a young, I think he was a man of about 30, probably a farmer, and he was desperately, he'd injured his leg and it was very badly infected. Our only drugs were sulfonamides and they didn't work awfully well. And he was practically dying. And they got hold of this penicillin. I saw it being given very first time it had been used. And his recovery was miraculous. At the time, he looked about 60 or 70. And he suddenly, you know, a few days later, looked about 30. And that's another thing I've been privileged to see, you see. And it was a busy hospital. We had a maternity unit, women's ward, children's ward, men's ward. We had a tuberculosis sanatorium ward, a small ward with a lot of young girls with TB spines in plaster cases, and they were in a poor way. About 12, they slept in the open. Well, half the ward was open. We had a fairly busy operating theatre, and several private patient beds, and we had quite a few. I can't remember, the Wills family was connected to the hospital. They used to come in sometimes. And we worked very hard and very long hours. I think we went on duty at 7:30 in the morning. And you might have 3 hours off in the morning, which is awful, from 10 to 1, then you're on duty. You went to early lunch before you went on duty. So you're on duty from 1 till probably 8 at night. I can't remember. And you're on your feet. You're never allowed to sit down. You're on your feet all the time. Half an hour for a cup of tea, and you go into the nurse. We had a beautiful nurse's home there. And you go into the sitting room, get two chairs, grab a cup of tea, and have a fag and put your feet up and just have a rest. Everybody did the same. And, of course, food is rationed, and you get your butter ration for the week, which is 1 ounce or something in a honey pot. And you never knew whether to eat it all in one go or not. And your jam ration for the, I think it's for the month. Can't remember now, but... And we lived on rice puddings and things. They used to make rice puddings in the kitchen with huge enamel bowls, and everybody lived on these.
You
but
said grab a fag. Did everyone smoke?
We did. And, I mean, I shouldn't have smoked because I was young, but you just followed everybody else. And I never smoked properly. I could never inhale, which is probably a good thing. But a lot of nurses smoked then. You're so
you
tired.
You were about 16.
No, I was probably started around about 17, I think, was that.
Seems to be a theme in the war.
It was. Well, I think there was rather... I mean, you weren't quite sure what was going to happen from one day to the next. Although in Marlborough we were pretty safe, you know. But,
did you have any V1s or V2s?
Not in Marlborough, but we did at home in Wokingham. And I happened to be at home one day. It was a sort of tall Victorian house. And from the bathroom window upstairs... My mother and I watched one of these coming down. It was a doodlebug.
What were they like? Could you describe one as you saw it in the air?
Well, I my memory's awful, but I think they were sort of rather like that shape, like a huge insect in a way, and you could hear the whine of it. I think it probably dropped into the Gorick Forest. I'm not sure. I can't remember. I'm sorry, I'm going back to the war now. I just remember that one or two planes were shot down and we went over to see. I don't know what it was, a German plane. That was during the war, actually, but before I started nursing. But to go back to nursing, we had a visiting sister tutor who probably came on a bicycle, and she was sweet, and I almost had one-to-one tuition and with her. There were, I'm not sure, not... about 10 of us under training, something, and we did our first state registration exams, the preliminary exams there. We did 2 years training, and we had a syllabus to follow. And then we went to Reading to take our examinations to the Battle Hospital. My mother met me there and helped me change into uniform, did practical examinations and written examinations. And my mother paid my fees, and I passed straight away, you know. So, which meant then, when I completed my 2 years training, which would have been 1946, because I was ill once or twice when I was there, we had to make up the time. Then I was accepted to go to the Radcliffe Infirmary, where I finished my training. Mm-hmm.
How about the end of the war? What do you remember about
that?
Oh,
yes, I do remember.
The day first
yes,
of all,
it was May the
it?
8th. I remember I was at Savernake Hospital. By then I was 17 plus, and coming up to these exams. But several of us walked down the hospital on top of a steep hill down to Marlborough, and we walked down to Marlborough, and excuse me, we were dancing in the streets, and you know, and I think one or two nurses had something to drink, I didn't, but there was, you know, everybody was very relieved, I think, about it. Obviously I think I have to get some water. I think I'm going to I'll be all right. No, it's all right. So, but it was lovely and very innocent, and we were just sort of dancing. Oh, thank you. Yes, please.
So that will help.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, and VJ Day, did anything, you know, was that as meaningful, do you think, as VJ Day?
Sorry. Well, I happened to be at home on VGA Day, and I said to my parents, I'm going back to Marlborough. Well, they knew that tonight. I probably had a day off. And I said, I expect I'll be dancing in the streets. And my father said, you don't want to do that. I think it was just, again, being protected. So I don't think I did. I can't remember. I was travelling, but...
Did you know much about the war in the Far East? You know, because obviously this is going to affect you later on. I wondered, you know, if you had any conception.
No, I didn't, unfortunately. I wish I had now, with hindsight. I mean, we read what had been written in the newspapers, and we obviously had newspapers in the nurse's home. Didn't listen to the radio very much. And I really didn't know too much about what was going
on.
It's
sometimes referred to as the Forgotten War,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it was, yes.
It seems from what you're saying.
Yes, I'm sure, I'm quite sure, and it was horrific, I think, to having read about it since and heard various things from my colleagues doing it. So I didn't really know very much. I mean, I felt guilty because I didn't sort of later, but at the time we didn't. I think it was so short-staffed and busy working that, you know, you were so tired when you came off duty that...
Did you get any feel when you look back, because I know you were very young at the time, that the cases you were having was related to sort of war shortages or, the strain of war?
I imagine it probably was. And, I mean, there was a shortage of absolutely every single thing.
Were you short of bandages and
No, I think we were all right with dressings and things. We used, in those days, it was before the non-touch technique came in, and we used to have to make up the drums. And these were steel drums, and one of the duties when you weren't busy, if you were on a surgical ward, you made up you got a wad of cotton wool, made it into cotton wool balls and cut up the gauze and made dressings, and then they went into these drums and they're autoclaved to sterilise. I don't remember there being shortages, but I was probably too junior along the line to know, you see.
I suppose you wouldn't have known what the case was before, would you?
No, I wouldn't have done, you see. No, no. And I mean, it was a fairly simple life everywhere, I think, during the war. And in the hospitals, the food, I mean, the patients are fed. It wasn't brilliant food, but everybody had a meal, and sister always dished the food out to make sure everybody ate their food properly and had their right diets. And we still had diets and things during the war for various diseases and that. But I was too junior at Savernake really to know too much. When I went on to the Radcliffe and I was getting older and more senior, I could sort of understand things more, you know.
How important was matron?
Very important, yes, very important. I learnt so much from the matron. She was charming at Savernake Hospital, and I think she realised I hadn't been too happy before, and she was very good to me. And she had a couple of dogs, and she used to take me when I was very young for walks across the Marlborough Downs. It was lovely with her dogs, and she was a very intelligent person. And it must have been difficult for her. She was London trained, trying to run a small hospital. And the sisters were very good. I mean, I was terrified of them, but particularly a sister called Sister Bell when I was very young, and you know, she had a go at me about making beds and being so untidy. And she said to me, "Nurse Hall, a pillow has four corners, and so it is a pillowcase. See, they fit." And that sort of, discipline was very tough. But it was good, I think, because I never would have coped otherwise.
Yes, there's a lot of talk today, isn't there, about the difference in hospitals and the need for matrons and sisters to be like that.
On my notes, one of the things I've written, I'd like to perhaps at the end pay a tribute to the matrons and their loyalty to their own matrons and that, because they drove me mad, but they were brilliant. They were in the right way through my training, and I think this is where a lot of mistakes have been made, actually, really, nowadays, but... So.
Right. Well, so now you're at the Radcliffe,
yes,
aren't you? And
the Radcliffe.
You finished your.
I finished my preliminary training. That's 2 years for the, and I had passed my first exam, because the state registered nurses, of two parts: preliminary, part one and part two, and then the state finals. And you couldn't take that till you were 21 anyway, and. I had to take the other before I went to the Radcliffe. I went for an interview at the Radcliffe, but I'd been accepted anyway and saw the matron. This is the old Radcliffe building, which is very beautiful in Oxford. And I started there in September 1946. My parents had a car then, they drove me there. And I did my 2-year training there. It was completely different from Marlborough. It was a very busy hospital and huge. But we, and a big nurse training school. And I went in as a second year nurse. And I wore a second year cap, and we had green uniform dresses there. I should have said at Savernake we had blue and white striped dresses and aprons. And the Radcliffe we had green dresses, white caps, black stockings, and everybody wore black stockings too, and brown capes and with red linings. And we wore button-on aprons, which I hadn't come across before, bibs, and we always removed them before we went to the nurses' home, which was a new thing. And the nurses' home was very comfortable there. And I did a 2-year training course, and we had various lectures, which we had to attend by medical staff, as well as we had two sister tutors there.
Did you have any refugee doctors or lecturers?
Don't remember any.
No.
I think they. No, I don't.
I was wondering if were you getting more wounded or more cases there?
Could I just go? I feel awful to go back to Savernake Hospital. I've just remembered we did have some refugee nurses there. One was Frieda Heyman, and I think her sister. And they had escaped from Germany, from the Nazi regime. And I think it was either her or her sister had become obsessive over cleanliness. And this was a direct effect from persecution in Germany. I just remember that. And there was another girl, I can't remember her name, a very pretty girl, who had been taken in by a doctor and his wife in Budley Salterton, and started to train as a nurse at Savernake. And she had escaped from, I presume, Germany, and she said the song that went through her mind, she left her parents on the train, was the Donkey Serenade. You know, it went on and on. I cannot remember her name. She's a very intelligent, very pretty girl. And she, I'm so sorry, I'd forgotten. They were refugees and they were working at Savernock Hospital.
And at the Radcliffe, were you getting cases that had come from the war? Were sort of connected?
I don't remember any particularly connected. I worked on pretty well most of the wards there because we had a very extensive training, a very good training. But
I imagine
I can't remember. Sorry.
I would imagine it was one of the best places for
It was an excellent training school, and I was lucky to go there, and I loved it. And when I was a surgeoness on one of the surgical wards, we then had penicillin, and I was the surgeoness was a penicillin nurse, and in those days the nurses had to make up the penicillin because it came in a sort of phial in a crystallized form. And you had an ampoule of sterile water, and you had to, dilute these crystals into a solution in the thing before you could give it. And the penicillin had to be given every 4 hours, night and day, to have an effect. It was the very early days of it, and I've reacted slightly to it since because I used to get it sprayed over my hand. It was the same when I first went into the army. We were using it like that. Then gradually they extended the time with it and eventually to oral penicillin and that. But in those days it was very new. And
did you have to inject it? Then?
Yes, into the buttocks. And you have to know exactly where you're injecting it, or you can paralyse the patient every 4 hours, yes, into the gluteal muscles. You sort of do a thing and you avoid the sciatic nerve, which you have to... It was quite a responsibility as training, but as a third year nurse, I had much more responsibility.
You had to do that?
And as a sister too, I mean, we gave a penicillin injection sack.
It could do harm if you
had to be very careful. I'm training nurses as well, and I was training them how to do it. You had to be very careful indeed, because to avoid the sciatic nerve, it's sort of... I can't remember, there's a special way of doing it across the buttock to find it. And and you're very busy on the wards. I mean, again, always seem to be short-staffed on night duty. I remember at the Radcliffe, on, I think it was Victoria Ward, it was an awful mixture. We had emergency gynaecological patients in, gynae patients in, plus probably about 8 elderly ladies with fractured hips, and they always used to get a bit peculiar in those days when they fractured their hips. And they'd be strung up on Thomas's splints. And you perhaps have young women coming in absolutely distraught, having miscarriages and that. There'd be 2 of you on night duty, a third year untrained, under training, and a first year to cope with this lot. There'd be a night sister coming round who'd check the drugs for you to give. You had a lot of responsibility. You'd be on night duty for 3 months at a time.
When did you actually qualify as an SRN?
I qualified at the Radcliffe as an SRN. I took my finals. I was 21 in September, took my finals in the October, and the results came out early November.
And that was which year?
And that was 1948, and I became a state registered nurse. And before that, I think about 3 months before, I was sent for by a matron. And my friend as well, Barbara, we went. We thought it was to join the Radcliffe Association and the Guild of Nurses afterwards. It was partly that, but she floored me by asking me to stay on as a charge nurse, which is a great honour, there and then, before I took my SRN. And I actually went up to the Churchill Hospital, which is part of the Radcliffe, and was made charge nurse of the gynae ward up there under the sister. Before I actually, course, my SRN, and it was a great responsibility, because I was left in charge while sister was away for 2 weeks holiday and had theatre cases going in and out. I couldn't check the drugs myself. I had to get the sister next door to do it. But it worked very well. And
You were an experienced nurse.
Yes, that's right.
At the time you qualified in 1948.
Yes, that's right.
End of Veal 2.
Sorry.
Mrs. Jill McNair.
Sorry, I'm not doing it.